to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm
on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon. I'm Jaron Vecchio. And joining me over the phone is the mayor of the regional municipality of Wood Buffalo, Don Scott. Mayor Scott, thank you so much for joining me after that marathon six-day stretch with council meetings.
Yeah, it was a long stretch. I think it actually turned into 7 days, and one meeting itself lasted over 50 hours from what the staff told me, so we're glad that we made it through.
All right, well, we have a lot to talk about. Of course, flood mitigation, as next steps have been decided for the six flood-prone areas, but first, we're going to be talking about masks as we are in, continue to be in the COVID-19 pandemic. And back on Monday last week, you guys were potentially looking at bringing in a mask bylaw. However, it was deferred until October. Maybe just to start off with your thoughts, do you think right now that the region needs to bring in a bylaw like this?
Well, we have third reading coming up October 13th, so I can't preempt that by saying how I'm going to vote on it. But I can tell you some of the pros and some of the cons, which were expressed by various members of council at the meeting. And just so everyone understands the procedure for the meeting, what happened is, in order to become a bylaw, you need three readings to pass. We passed two readings, and then in order to do the third reading on the same day, you need unanimous agreement, and that wasn't achieved, so that's why it goes over to October 13th. I can tell you that the people who are against masks have one very strong argument. If masks are so great and so important, and if everybody should be wearing them, how come the chief medical officer for Alberta hasn't mandated them for everyone, or at least for our region? And just to remind everybody, and I brought this up previously, masks were mandated by the provincial government back in 1918 or as part of the Spanish flu. And you can look that up online. So that's a huge argument about why masks, why the people who are against masks, they often cite that, and it does make sense. Mm-hmm. There's also the mental health risk that people often raise when they're against masks. They say, look, all they're doing is contributing to other factors, and they're also affecting business. So we've heard those. On the pro side, we obviously heard from a single doctor during the hearing. That was a doctor for, I believe, Syncrude, and he said that we should have masks. Masks do make sense for the region, and they are going to reduce the risk. We also, if we had masks, we'd be in uniformity with some of the other regions, not everyone universally. And there was Indigenous and industry support. And if masks are bad, then how come schools have them? How come the province has mandated them for certain grades at school, for certain ages at school? And there's the really obvious pro, if you believe the doctor, and that's it would improve health. Mm-hmm. So we heard a variety of delegates at the meetings, and delegates are absolutely crucial to these things. And they were all, on different sides of this issue and this argument, but it's going to be October 13th that it's scheduled for. Now, there's no guarantee it's going to go forward that day. Things can be deferred again or other things can happen, but that is when it is next scheduled. But it's an absolutely crucial discussion to have in this region. And we certainly, I think it's an important discussion to have. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of room for disagreement on it. I've received a ton of emails, and I think my colleagues are in the exact same position. And I've got to say that of the emails I've received far more against masks than I have for masks. I don't even think it's close. I think it's a far, far more greater number. So it's going to be a very robust debate, usually third reading. And just so everyone understands, just because you vote for something at first reading and second reading doesn't mean you have to vote for it at third reading. The way it works is at third reading is when everybody usually, not always, but usually gives their passionate speeches trying to convince everybody else to support their views. The other thing that changes from meeting to meeting is who's able to attend. I think we saw that this week. Not everybody can attend all the meetings, so, and some people just have to be absent for medical reasons or other reasons, and that changes the outcomes of these decisions. So it's going to be a very, very critical day on October 13th for this issue. Mm-hmm.
Regardless of your position, whether you're for or against, is there any frustration that a decision wasn't made last week that, you know, because of this protocol that we didn't have, we had one counselor vote against discussing third reading, that we had to wait a month for a decision?
No, not at all. I'm a big believer in democracy, and we have a system set up with various procedural rules, and this is one of those procedural rules. And if a counselor or it takes advantage of a procedural rule, that's completely within that person's right. And I completely support that. I'm not against that. If somebody has, if there's a procedural rule, then it's really the group's fault for having that procedural rule in place. It's not that single counselor's fault. And I support any counselor who uses any procedural rule. Often counselors raise procedural issues through meetings. So I don't think any of us would hold that against a counselor who raised a concern. There's advantages and disadvantages. It obviously gives us more time to see what happens. There's obviously risk potentially to health if you're on that side of the fence. So we'll see where we are on October 13th. I expect it'll be probably one of the more robust debates we have this year. We've obviously had a lot of robust debates in the last while, but this is certainly going to be one of them. And it's certainly being well followed. I can say it's one of the ones that I've received more correspondence on than any other. And I expect, from what I've seen from the province, I don't expect the province to weigh in on this. The issue is too difficult politically. And that's why they've left it to municipalities.
Mm-hmm. Again, regardless of your position for or against masks, is there still concern about the number of active cases in Fort McMurray? I do want to mention that, you know, we are down from when we peaked at 66, I believe, 2 weeks ago, but we're still in the mid-40s right now in active cases.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as of this morning, we're at approximately 44 and 4 in the rural. So that's a concerning number of cases. And another issue that's been raised with me, and I raised with the Minister of Health and his staff, was the delay in testing. We heard story after story in this region how it takes a number of days to get into the test, and then it takes 8 days for the result. So people that are self-isolating after they find out they might have been exposed to somebody, what that essentially means is they're out of action for potentially 10, 12 days. So, it's completely unacceptable. When I spoke to the Minister of Health staff, we looked at, I cited some jurisdictions where it was a lot faster. And he said that we are being treated the same as other jurisdictions. So we are no different than other areas in Alberta, but I think we're a lot slower than our other jurisdictions in Canada. So it's a concern that I have, and I think it's something that you'll see this council making strong views about in the future. Now, I've heard recent stories that things have improved. I know that they've made some changes provincially about who they're testing and when and why. And that probably has speeded up the system. So I have a feeling from what I've heard in the last 2 days that it's actually improved significantly. So we'll see where that goes.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.com. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott. And before the break, we are talking about a potential mask bylaw, as a final decision is expected to be made on October the 13th at 4 o'clock. And Mayor Scott, again, like we mentioned, a marathon meeting, 6-7 days of meetings. And the big topic was flood mitigation for the 6 flood-prone areas. Now, we're not going to go into each decision of the 6 areas, as this show would probably be about 3 or 4 hours long. The big thing that many residents are taking away from this meeting is that not one buyout at this time is being offered. Can you explain maybe some of the reasoning why council maybe, you know, leaned against buyouts?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of reasons that were cited during the meeting itself, but I'd say there's the tax consequences to all residents. So if you do a buyout, there's obviously going to be a cost of that. Some areas were as much as $100 million, others were $40 million in that range. So if you buy those, and that's estimates, I can't emphasize that enough. Those are estimates. So if the municipality buys those individuals out, then there's a cost that's spread around to everybody else. So there's that. I think I'm well cited for one of the concerns that I've expressed. It's that I do believe there's a risk of people leaving. The reason I know it is that a person, more than one, came up to me and wondered where their check was so they could leave. And that's something that obviously didn't sit well with me. You know, I really believe in this community. I believe in the people of this community, and I'm concerned about it. The other reason is the actual cost is unknown for buyouts. A lot of people owe more on their mortgage than their property is worth. So we've talked about a lot of different values when we were looking at this issue. We talked about the value of a property, like the actual value. We talked about the tax value. But a lot of people owe a lot more than that. So the difficulty in buying somebody out is you usually got to pay off their mortgage. And if they owe a lot more than what their property is worth, that means that these estimates are going to be significantly lower than reality. And the last reason that I think buyouts are challenging, and I've mentioned this during many of the meetings, is historically the province led the buyouts. Now, that's the 2013 example, and we use that a lot. It took a long time, but it wasn't the municipality that led the buyout issue. It was the province. And in this situation, the province has sat on their hands and said, municipality, we're not stepping in. And, you know, there's reasons for that, but there's obviously a lot of reasons, but we can't initiate a buyout when it's another level of government has historically done it. Everything can't be downloaded to this municipality. And the province throw up their hands. You know, this municipality has funded not only Alberta, but Canada for a number of years. And now suddenly, every time that this municipality needs help, everybody's sitting on their hands at other levels of government. So it's very frustrating. But notwithstanding that, we are still looking at buyouts. It made its way into the motions for, certainly for Ptarmigan Court. Now, that's a very exceptional circumstance because it is not only difficult, near impossible to protect from a flood, except for a very, very high cost. So that's an exceptional area, the Ptarmigan Court area. So we're still taking another look at that. I think the people of Ptarmigan are probably frustrated that there's going to be one-on-one conversations, but I've got to say, a lot of the meetings I went to, there were requests for that. So, you know, when that came up as a motion, then that was that did make sense for that area. The other areas, there's still a one-on-one discussion happening, I believe, in Draper. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some more discussion happening there. But, and in waterways for certain residents. But for the majority of our region, for the majority of Fort McMurray that was impacted by the flood, the path forward is set. Not only is it set, we have a hard target and a target deadline that we're trying to meet. So we've raised how much flood protection the people of this region are going to receive. It's 1 in 200, which means it's going up more than it has been before. So that phrase, just so anybody who's not familiar with it, you get a certain kind of flood once in every 100 years. We actually had that this year. Now we are raising the level of flood protection so that it's the kind of flood that you would get once every 200 years. So it should be a lot more protected in this region. And that's absolutely important. It's something I specifically asked for, and I'm very happy my colleagues supported it. And I wanted to see it for every region. So we've got that going forward. So that's a very positive step in the right direction, I think.
Mm-hmm. It seems from what you mentioned there, Mayor Scott, that buyouts, the cost was just not feasible. However, the frustration that we've been hearing from some residents, especially Longbow Landing, as many had wanted a buyout, is if buyouts seemed like they weren't really a possibility, why were they, you know, discussed? Why was it potentially being offered then?
Yeah, I think we heard loud and clear that they wanted them to be considered. And just because something's considered doesn't mean it's going to be agreed upon. I think, you know, I hate the fact that so many people feel let down. But we have to make hard decisions, and that's exactly what this government did. Just another example of something else that I think was in the back of people's minds. We did not buy out Hillview. We didn't buy out Penn Horwood or other condominiums that were in very difficult situations. We didn't buy out the entire downtown that is below, you know, the level that was impacted this year. And to buy out the downtown, just to give you a sense of the cost, that was $1.3 billion. So we've got to be fair. It's all about fairness. And we're trying to be fair. It's very difficult to make these decisions because we want the people of this region to succeed. One thing we did do for the Longview circumstances is we are going to do our best to make sure that they obtain insurance at a reasonable cost. So we agreed to do a delegation to speak with Lloyd's of London, and that was brought up by one of the insurance brokers as an option. So, and that's one of their challenges going forward. They need to obtain reasonable insurance for those condominiums. Another issue, you know, we need to just make sure that those people are getting their DRP funds. We've heard over and over and over again that people from different areas of town who are flooded are not getting their DRP money. Now, that's not municipal, that's provincial, but I can certainly advocate on behalf of people, and I encourage people to let me know if they are not getting the money that they have applied for through DRP, then let us know. So we can try to take action and go to the minister or, you know, the administrative team so that we can make sure that people are getting funds. I don't want to see people struggling in this region. We need people to be reimbursed as much as they can and get them back into a decent position going forward.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to finish our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
Return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and once again, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott, and we're talking about next steps in flood mitigation as council met over the past 6 days to discuss what moving forward in the 6 flood-prone areas. And we were talking about buyouts before, and Mayor Scott, one other option was land swaps. I know that administration is still looking into the possibility of that. Can you just kind of explain why land swaps are just kind of really tough right now?
Yeah, because the province hasn't given us the land to do it. So anyone who followed the meetings, and I don't blame anyone who didn't because they were so very long, it was explained during the meeting, and it's something I've lived with for several years. The province owes this municipality approximately $50 million. Actually, it's over $50 million for work that we did that benefited the province. And what we have said to the province for several years is if you give us land, then we will call it even. And, you know, we've tried our best to get that land. We've been doing it for a number of years. It's Parsons and Sailing Creek, and we're just getting nowhere. So the idea of land swaps isn't really on the table in a significant way because we don't have the land to do it. Mm-hmm. I asked the question, or I think one of my colleagues may have, during the meeting about whether we have land that could, you know, accommodate significant land swaps, and the answer was no. So we need the province to come on board. So not only did they not lead the buyout discussion, they haven't given us the land to do anything with land swaps. So I think land swaps may have been a good situation for some people, particularly in Ptarmigan. It might have worked for a few, not for everybody, and not everybody wants to leave. I recognize that. So that's another challenge. Without the land, it's hard to do a land swap.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a possibility down the road, if we do eventually get this land in Parsons and Saline Creek, that maybe land swaps could eventually be offered to those who were looking at potential buyouts in these six areas?
Yeah, it's very possible. But we need that land, and you know we've been working on it. As I said, it was the previous DAO, and it goes back in time for several years, and the current CIO is doing the same thing. We specifically asked for this land so that we can accommodate the people who were flooded out, and we have gotten nowhere so far. So the province hasn't been running to the table saying, look, we want to help you, we want to sort things out. Another issue that's come up just recently, just to give everybody a sense of where the province is on things in this region, is we've been trying to get the land that's right beside the bridge and make it look a lot better. It looks terrible right now. And that's on the left-hand side if you're driving to McDonald Island Park. The province recently came back and said they'd lease it to us for $1 million. That's nonsense. It looks terrible. We want to beautify it, make this region look good, and they want to do a cash grab in this region. So it's just consistently not helping this region, even though we've supported not only Alberta, but Canada for as long as I can remember. So when we need the help, we're not getting it.
Mayor Scott, before I let you go, just one last question. And you mentioned earlier that though we aren't moving forward with buyouts, we are moving forward with flood mitigation again in downtown Longboat Landing, waterways, and Taganova, specifically raising the berms to cover a 1 in 200 year flood. We've mentioned that this past spring's flood was a 1 in 100 year. So is it safe to say if these measures were in place during the spring, would the damage from this past flood be, you know, significantly reduced? And do we expect, you know, a big impact on, you know, potential future floods if they do happen?
What I can say is that going forward, we'll be in a much better position because just to give you a sense of the devastation that was caused this year, 0.7% of our downtown above 250 meters was impacted, and that's for the 1 in 100 year level. So if we build to 1 in 200 and we've got specific dates that are targets to get this work done by, we are going to be in far better shape.
Well, Mayor Scott, as always, we appreciate it when you spare a couple of minutes of your time to come on the show.
Okay, all the best. Take care, everyone.
If you're looking for more information around flood mitigation and the mask bylaw, make sure you head to the Mix News page. Now, that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters. Make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode?
Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.